Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our text today, I've chosen a portion of the epistle reading that was read a few moments ago. And those of you who are taking notes today may want to look at that in your bulletin. It's printed out there. The latter verses, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the name of Christ, dear friends of mine, almost every Sunday, Christians confess either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. And in the third article, they usually say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. But you know, there are a lot of people who don't exactly know how to understand that word church. For example, if somebody asked you what church you belong to, you would say, oh, the Lutheran Church, if you belong to the Lutheran Church. And they would ask, well, where is that located? So what are they thinking of? They're thinking of a place. They're thinking of a building, you know? I used to kid the children. Something like this, I would say, you know, look, there's a building with a steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. And I'll tell you now, so you don't have to search, those people therein, they are the church. You are the church. And this passage that we're talking about today is addressed to all believers in Christ Jesus. No matter what their denomination, a Christian, we say the Holy Christian Church, that's more than a local congregation of people. It is spread throughout the whole world today, those who confess in the words of those creeds and the Nicene Creed that we confess today. And they are part of this assembly, and that's what the word church in the Bible means. According to the Greek language, it is an assembly of people. And that's what you are today. Now, in this particular epistle, Peter is addressing Christians of his day. And he's also addressing us for our day. But in his day, the church was under a persecution. They were being hauled before the authorities. They were being rebuked. They were being threatened. They were being thrown in the arena for lions and tigers to kill them and so on. All because they confessed the name of Christ and renounced all of the Roman gods that the authorities kept telling them to acknowledge. And that's the background. They're living where people are calling them names, traitors, outcasts, rebels, whatever you might think of today. And even worse names than that, than what I wish to employ today, they were called. And so Peter is writing to that people under that circumstance in that day and age. But he's also writing to us in our day and age too. And he wants to bring them comfort. And he does bring them comfort by this epistle especially in this text today, because of all the name calling that Christians were being given in that day, he wants to tell them that they are chosen. Chosen people. And in his description here, he gives four of them as people of God. And you see in that text that is before you that there are four descriptions, and we want to take at those and what they mean. So maybe some of you might like to jot that down. First of all, thinking of them in this context of chosen people, we remember that you and I who sit here today and confess the name of Christ, we have been chosen for salvation that has been earned for us by Jesus Christ. Chosen for our salvation because our first parents, Adam and Eve, plunged this whole world into sin and condemned it because they were rebels against God, and every human being born after them is born conceived in sin, and God sent his son Jesus into this world to redeem us. And he chose us in Christ to be his very own people. What a compliment. You and I don't deserve that. I know I don't deserve that, to be called chosen by God, but he did that purely out of his grace and mercy, without any worthiness in me or anybody else in this world, born into this sinful condition left by our first parents. He chose us in him. In fact, he did that before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this, starting at verse 3. God chose us. Notice the word, chose. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Can you imagine that before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, way back there in the age of ages, God had you, God had me in his mind as one of his chosen ones. And in time, that reality came yours when you believed in Christ. Maybe when you were an infant, when you were baptized as an infant, but there God's mercy and grace were adopting you as one of his chosen ones. What a privilege is yours. What a privilege is mine that has happened to us. And we don't deserve it. But that's how God's grace is. It's undeserved kindness for us poor, sinful human beings. Now, in this text, Peter wants them to realize what a great and wonderful thing that is, so that they can be comforted by that. Even though they were just being cast aside and being called all kinds of names, being persecuted, being put to death even for their belief in Christ and their confession of his name, that they were God's very special chosen people. And so you are. Each one of us will have a history of how God chose us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. There may be all kinds of different histories that, like I have in mine and you have in your families, but God in his grace and mercy, regardless, that's part of what he did for you in the history of this world. At some point, he called you to be his very own special people before the foundation of the world. So take comfort in that. Now, in America today, we don't have that same type of situation that they had in the days of the Roman Empire, way back there, right after Christ was crucified, resurrected, and risen to heaven. But there's such going on today that Christians are being fought against, if I can put it that way. There's so many things in our culture today that could be labeled as anti-Christian, or you might say it might be any religion they're against. Recently in the news, there were some things about Our Ladies of, what was it, Perpetual, some word I can't think of what it was, all dressed up as nuns, makeup and everything. These were males dressed like that at the Dodger Stadium. Did some of you read about that? But a mass of Christians and Jews and all of those who were religious and wanted to keep our nation, at least with the words, under God, were gathered together, and the attendance went down. Thank God that people stood up to that kind of thing, you know, to celebrate, you know, contrary to God's word. And thank the Lord that God has, through his grace and mercy, delivered you from that kind of thing and made you his very own people. Now there's a second wonderful description given here. Christians are chosen to be a royal priesthood. Just think of that. I'm going to look, divide that up, a royal priesthood. The book of Revelation says a nation of kings and priests. That's what you are. One of the things restored at the time of the Reformation was the doctrine of the universal priesthood of all believers. It used to be there was, in the Old Testament, the representative priest that offered all the sacrifices and so on. And they have a sort of a priesthood focused on a particular family. But now, all of us who are in Christ Jesus are called to royalty. Did you know you had royalty? That's what that means. You have royalty. You are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That's your royalty. And he has called you to live that royalty out in your life. Now, when you think about in the Old Testament, you had kings who had their nations and so on. And I think of David in particular. He had, I don't know how many children he had. I haven't gone back to count them. But he continued to have children that would be part of the royal family. And they were given responsibilities as of the king in what they were to be like and what they were to do. Not all of them lived up to that, but that's what they were meant to be, one after another, following David and his example and so forth. So you have that royalty. And Lake, think of what that people, what are you saying, Peter? We have royalty? Yes, you do. You belong to him who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has given you new birth in your baptism and made you his very own. And as such, you are to be his representative of royalty in this world of ours today. And then it's a priesthood. What does that mean in the Christian sense? It doesn't mean a special group of people that are going to do sacrifices, but you are called upon to that royal priesthood, which means that you can come before God in person and talk with him person, face to face. You don't have to have a representative like a priest or a pastor or somebody else. You can go to him directly with your prayers and with your petitions. And as a priest, you are to offer up prayers and you are to offer up sacrifices to in behalf of your Savior. And now when you go to the scriptures, especially in Romans, you find what that means to be a royal priesthood in Romans chapter 12 and to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Paul writes there, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So all of you are royal members of the royal priesthood, can stand before God, worship Him, offer up those spiritual sacrifices of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving with your fellow believers in church like this, with all others throughout the world. You are a chosen royal priest before God. And there is yet another description given here. You are chosen to be a holy nation, God's own special people. Now, holiness in the church does not mean that you're going to be perfect, or that means that you're going to be sinless. This word in the original means you are set apart. God chose you and set you apart to be His own special people. His love moved Him to do that. And we read in Ephesians again where Paul writes, "For through Jesus we have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." What a wonderful blessing, and we should thank God for that every day of our lives, that we have been called to be a holy nation, set apart to be God's servant people in this world. That's what it means. But there is also that connotation that if we are going to have this call, that there's going to flow from it all in our life is going to be lived in accordance with God's will and with God's commandments and with God's word. And finally, as we look at this description of the chosen, we are chosen to be proclaimers. Look at the latter part of that epistle reading today. "That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God called you out of His darkness of sin to be His very own chosen ones. And He has given us a responsibility as part of being the chosen ones. And here He says it's to declare the excellencies. Now, I have to admit, I had to think a little bit about what that meant, to proclaim His excellencies. And I went to the Greek and looked at it, and it has a deep connotation. And I looked at other translations, and I think one of them said this, to declare the wonderful deeds of Him, the wonderful deeds of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's really what that excellencies mean, that we as God people are to be reaching out to others to proclaim all the great things that God has done for us in choosing us to be His very own by His grace and saving us so that we are on the road to eternal life. That's the excellencies. Some of you will recall from the Bible the story that Jesus crossed over the Sea of Tiberias onto the other side of the lake, and there ran out of the tombs on that part of the lake this man who was possessed by a demon. And he says, get away from here. What do I have to do with you? And Jesus began to rebuke the demons in that man. And the demons came out of him, and he became an entirely new creature. There he was running about naked in that graveyard. He had chains that he had ripped from his hands. He had dirt all over him. And when Jesus cast out the demons, he became a new person. And then Jesus was ready to get into the boat with his disciples there on the shore. And the man came and says, Jesus, I want to be with you. Take me with you. And what did Jesus say? He says, no, go home and tell your friends the great things that God has done for you. And he did it. And people were just amazed at what happened to him. But that's an example to us of what we are to do as God's chosen ones, to proclaim his excellencies, the great things he has done for us. Now, many of you may be reading a psalm per day, but in the book of Psalms, you will find a lot of psalms that deal with God's wonderful acts that he did for the children of Israel. He led them out of bondage in Egypt. He protected them on the way. He fed them. He gave them water. He gave them food. And he helped them to go to that land that had been promised to Abraham, because this was his chosen people. But now in the New Testament, Jew and Gentile are formed together as the new Israel of God, God's chosen people, and you are one of them. So let no one try to put you to shame because you claim Christ, but boldly declare him before the world and declare his wonderful deeds. Once you did not know mercy, but now you know mercy. And now you can share that mercy that you have received with other people. So those are four descriptions given here of what it means to be chosen. And I hope today that all of you will leave here and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me your very own and calling me to be part of your royal priesthood, part of your holy people, set apart to witness to and to live my life to the glory of your name, to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the source of our salvation. Amen and amen. And now may this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.